Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." In psychology, there is a phenomenon known as cognitive dissonance. A prime example of cognitive dissonance in our world is flat earthers. Despite being presented with observable facts that our earth is in fact a globe, they persist in their false belief that the earth is flat. And though they are presented with indisputable facts, they will not believe them because it would mean that they would literally have to change their worldview. And they would have to admit that they were wrong. And cognitive dissonance happens in the human mind when two actions or ideas are not psychologically consistent with each other. And people will do everything in their power to change them until they become consistent. The mental discomfort, which is triggered by the cognitive dissonance, is a person's belief clashing with the new information they have received, wherein that individual tries to find a way to resolve the contradiction and reduce their discomfort. And we all experience cognitive dissonance at many points in our lives, and we deal with it in one of two ways. We will either accept the new factual information presented to us and change our belief about something, or we will rationalize away the factual information and continue in our disbelief and rely on our own false perception of a belief or an idea or even a situation. Sometimes we let pride and covetousness or self-importance get in the way of our believing that something is not the way we want it to be, and we are unwilling to accept it. In our gospel reading, it appears that the Pharisees are experiencing cognitive dissonance about who Jesus is. In the preceding verses to this week's gospel reading, Jesus has been preaching and ministering to many people. Jesus has told them the truth about who he is and what he is going to do on the cross. St. John writes, "As he was saying these things, many believed in him." But the Pharisees do not believe. And this is more than just cognitive dissonance. What Jesus is preaching about himself and God our Father does not fit what the Pharisees want to believe. And they have persisted in their disbelief and their cognitive dissonance. And their hearts have been hardened like Pharaoh's. And they refuse to believe despite being presented with the truth. But more than that, they do not believe because God is not their father. The devil is their father. And Jesus says to them, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." This is a severe judgment that is beyond the pale for a Jew. There is nothing as severe as saying that one is not of God. To have someone call you a criminal or a villain or to perhaps even cut your throat is nothing compared to the horrible and terrible verdict of having God say to you, "You are not of God." And yet we see wherever the gospel is proclaimed, we will find those who do not want to hear the word of God. And those who do not want to hear or even hear the word of God follow the devil so persistently that he will overtake them and take total possession of them. And the longer they persist in unbelief, the tighter the grip of the devil becomes upon them. And as the devil tightens his grip, they become even more wicked and even more evil. This is exactly what's happening in our gospel reading. At first, the Pharisees are just annoyed at Jesus preaching. And then they berate him by calling him a Samaritan who is demon-possessed. And then they end the encounter with murderous thoughts as they pick up stones to kill Jesus. In their contempt for God and his word, they become more and more depraved, and they fall from just mere cognitive dissonance to a sin against the Holy Spirit of blaspheming God and his word, and they belong to the devil. It's clear what it means to be of the devil, not wanting to hear God's word, reviling it, blaspheming it, and cursing God. Whoever will not hear God's word, or after hearing it, will not listen and keep it, becomes a liar. They become a liar, a blasphemer, and a persecutor. They are just like the devil, the father of lies. The longer one persists in unbelief, the more their heart is hardened towards God, and they blaspheme and persecute even more, eventually resorting to violence and becoming murderers. Perhaps this is the worst fate for an unbeliever. If one is willing to hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit can convince him of his sin and lead him to repentance. But one who does not even want to hear the word of God persists in blasphemy and cannot be led to repentance. It is none other than the devil himself at work when a person despises God's word. There is no neutral ground. Either one hears the word of God, repents and believes, or he plugs his ears and refuses to hear the word of God, becoming one with the devil. It should not be understood that the devil creates blasphemers and persecutors. All people are God's creation, and it is God who has given them their minds, their ears, their tongues. God's good creation of mankind is perverted and distorted when one sins and uses it in service to the devil. When people close their ears to the word of God and they use their tongues to blaspheme God, they are misusing God's good creation to do acts of evil, and these are of the devil. Jesus says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." We discussed a few weeks ago what the word keep meant in the Luke passage. In this passage, it's actually a different Greek word, tero, but it is another military word which means to guard, to watch over, or retain custody of. To be of God is to use the ears that God created for you to be willing to hear the preaching of the word of God, to accept reproof when a wrong has been committed, to pray, preach, instruct, comfort, reprimand, and comfort with your tongue. For ears that hear and listen to the word of God by faith, and tongues that speak the truth of the word of God are good and proper in their use. They are engaged in doing that which is pleasing to God. And if we cherish and we retain custody of God's word in our minds, in our ears, and our tongues, we are guided by God's word and spirit. We do not wish to see, hear, speak, or think anything that is contrary to God. And yet, from time to time, old Adam will seize the better part of our judgment, and we say things that profane God instead of praying. We are irritable when we should instead be thankful and cheerful for what God has given us. And often we are unhappy that God has only given us what we need, but not what we want. However, what makes you different than those who serve the devil is that God's children do not despise his word. Rather, you hear it, you receive it by faith, you confess your sins and you ask for God's mercy, and our gracious God is merciful and forgives you in Christ Jesus. And perhaps you've heard it said by someone who's part of another religion, or maybe they're an atheist, and they will make the statement that Jesus never said that he was God. That's what they'll say. And this is a common statement by those who blaspheme against God. In particular, this is a favorite lie of the Muslims, the Mormons, the Unitarians, and the Jehovah's Witnesses. But in verse 58 of our gospel reading, our Lord Jesus drops an atomic bomb on the Jews who are blaspheming and mocking him. And Jesus says to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And perhaps the significance of this statement is lost in modern English. But any Jew who heard these words, "I am," would have clearly understood exactly what Jesus was saying. Jesus is not being snarky. He's not just merely stating that he existed before Abraham, but by saying, "I am," Jesus is invoking the tetragrammaton, the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. Take a look right there at the top of the reredos, Yahweh. There it is, it's written in Hebrew. Jesus is claiming the word that Yahweh spoke from Moses from the burning bush, "I am who I am." And we worship the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Yahweh. And if we are to keep God's word so that we will never see death as Jesus promises, what does this mean? Keeping God's word is to cherish and to guard God's word. It's not only obeying his holy commands, but it is also believing what he promises you in the gospel concerning Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. This is the one true faith, the word we should hold fast to. It is Christ Jesus, the very one who proclaimed, "I am the only begotten Son of the Father, true God and true man, who died on the cross for you." And Jesus carries our sins of pride and disobedience, arrogance, covetousness, and our unwillingness to hear his word to the cross. Christ Jesus, the crucified one, is the once-for-all atoning sacrifice for all your sins. God's word comes to you today in the reading of his word, by the preaching of his gospel, and in the sacraments. In confession and absolution, you heard the very word of Christ when Pastor, who in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, said, "I therefore forgive you all your sins." In the sacrament of the altar, the "I am," Jesus says to you, "This is my body which is given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And you will suffer in this world, especially at the hands of those who are the devil's children. Bear this with patience by holding steadfastly to the word of God. And though the sleep of death will come to all, take comfort that you possess the power of the word of God. For those who hear the word of God and keep it, the word of God produces gentle and quiet people who have joyful hearts as they pass through the tribulations of this world. Those who keep God's word can take comfort that through Christ, you have a gracious Heavenly Father who has adopted you as his own. For you were buried and raised with Christ in the water and the word of holy baptism. As the children of God, the word of God which you keep in faith is the word that will keep and sustain you. And even though death consume us, we yet will not feel its sharp fangs. For Christ's word is our armor that supplies us with a confident life and a quiet, peaceful death and eternal life. In the name of Jesus, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.